Our message today is going to be God's imprint. But before we start, I wanted to show you a picture of the church. And you can see, can you tell what side I worked on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really like, it was really quite dirty. I was telling Pete too that that top part has never been done since we put siding on. And you know, there's a lot of dirt and stuff that comes along the road, and it just slowly gets on the church, you know, and it builds up and builds up. And you don't always notice it so much until there's some contrast that goes with it. So I always notice it in the wintertime when the white snow comes out and the church looks like it's brown. You know, kind of not really a brown, just dirty. And so I'm hoping this winter it's going to look a little sharper coming through. So again, it's just really nice to be able to do, you know, be able to do these things and, you know, take care of the, you know, this building here so that we can worship together forever, right? And that's what we're going to be doing and stuff. We're just taking care of the things that He's given us. Yeah, I know. It's, yeah. So anyhow, it's kind of cool. But you notice one side seems to be really bright and shiny. The other one seems to be really dark. There's a reason I'm saying that. Because it's going to be part of our message too. It's going to be in there. So that's why I want you to take a really good close look at what we have here. And like I said, God's message today is going to be the imprint that He has on us. And I think it's important because we tend to forget that God really has imprinted Himself on us. We tend to, and I like what Pat was saying too, where, you know, there's so many things that happen around us and that we do come to the Lord, but it's through His grace, it's through His work, you know, that we can do those things and get to know who He is because He reveals that to us. It's nothing that we can do. We can't climb a ladder and get to heaven. We might be able to get into a spaceship and go to the moon or even eventually go to Mars or who knows where we're going to be going later on. But you'll never be able to get to God that way. Not by any mechanical means or anything. It's by a relationship with Him. And so part of the message today is that imprint that's been put on us so that we can have that relationship. So I'm going to, I've got some Old Testament scriptures and some new ones, mainly new ones in the end. Some of the scripture is hard to listen to. Because it's gonna, you know, it's like one of those things where, you know, you got stabbed. Ugh, God just, you know, put something right in there, and it, because it hurts what's being said, and then it's like that little knife goes twists, you know, inside you, and it hurts even more, and you know it's gonna leave this gaping wound and stuff like that. But I think when we start looking at Scripture and realizing kind of what it's saying, it's not that it's the knife that's there to hurt us. What it is a knife to separate that which is godly and that which is ungodly. Right? And that's really what we're looking at. So let's go to this thing here. This is the first scripture is in Jeremiah chapter 31. But it talks about the restoration that God has for the people. It says 31 through 34. It says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." I'm not done yet, right? So this is new covenant. Let's see what He has to say about that. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more." Wow. Can you imagine, you know, being an Israelite who knows that what they have done really offended God? That there is a close relationship between God and Israelite as a marriage would have been, you know. God being the husband and Israel being the bride. And Israel did not keep the covenant. And what God is saying here is that He wants to have a new covenant. Not one that's going to be written on stone tablets, but one that's written on our hearts. See, that's important, because wherever we go, who do we have inside of us? But God. When can we call upon God? Anytime that we want. Will He hear us? Most definitely. Even in the midnight? Yes. Even during the day when I'm really busy and there's big, all this wars going on around us and stuff? Yes. Because He's made this covenant with us. And He wants nothing more. This eternal destiny that we have. It's like God says, I will be your God and you will be my people. Everything God does is in alignment with that. Very simple statement. He wants you to be His people. Every one of you. And you're going to say, well, not really me, because I'm really not that God. No, He wants you. And He's doing everything He's saying right over here, right? That we are going to be able to know Him. And that He's going to forgive us our sins. And I've heard this said before, God cannot forgive this sin. Yes, He can. Right? There, that is so true in being able to do that. So let's go to John, and I really like the Gospel of John, chapter 1, right in the very beginning, starting at verse 1, going through 5. It says this, in the beginning was the Word. And does anybody know who the Word is? But Jesus, yeah. Okay, so that's where we've got that statement there. And the Word was with God, so Jesus was with God. And the Word was God, that means Jesus is God, right? Very simply put. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So if Jesus was there during creation, and Jesus made everything through the spoken word, right? And God created everything, that means He created you. He knows you intimately, better than you know yourself. And when we're looking at this aspect of Him knowing us, He knows who He is and who He's to be to us. He is the light of this world. But this world is in darkness. Right? Now, what is life to us? His light. Which means He is life to us. So if you're looking for life, don't look to me. Look to Jesus. And we already know that we're talking about this covenant that was spoken about in Jeremiah. Is that, well, I don't know Jesus. Wait a minute. God just said He was going to write all of His commands on you, on your heart, so that you will know Him and know what brings life and what doesn't bring life. But look at this, we have that darkness that's around us. We seem to have a light, and then we seem to have a darkness. We've got a church picture where there's half cleaned, right, light, and then the other half is darkened. Now, we look at that image and we think of, 50-50 and stuff. And I'm not looking at saying, well, God is half as, is just as strong as Satan is. And it's not that way at all. Satan has no power other than what God allows him to do, right? So that's what we need to be able to do, is so that God is supreme in all of this stuff here. But within us, there seems to be some struggles that we have. So what God has done, He's willing to give us something And that something is called righteousness. So let's look in here in Isaiah 42, 6 through 7. It says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. And then look at what, God is going to do. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. To open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Is that rain going out there?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's washing off my clean work and stuff like that. I better be clean water going on that front of the church. That's all I got to say. Yeah. All right, so here we are. We're looking at this, and it's like that God is going to take our hand, right? And then we're going to take His light into the darkness so that those who don't know God can find God. And it seems really weird. How is it that people can't see the light in darkness? I'll tell you why. Because they think the darkness is light, and they think the light is darkness. That's why they can't see it. Right? So when we get this understanding of who God is, because He's written and printed those things on our hearts, we get to see the true light. And the light that really brings life to those that are around us and ourselves and stuff like that. That is what's really important. And I want to give a little scripture, or just a reminder, first of all, is that He will take hold of your hand. Right now, He says that He's in our hearts, but He also says that He'll take hold of our hand. That means that He's going to lead us. I always get this picture of a little child in New York City and all that traffic that's there, the honking of the horns, the bustle of all the people traveling back and forth, and all the lights that are going on, all the advertisement screens that are up on the buildings and stuff like that. There is just so much distraction and so much struggling there. But if you ever see a little child that's hanging on to his or her mother's hand or his father's hand, they have no cares in the world. Do you know why? Because they trust their parent to guide them through all of those cars and through all of those people that you're going to get from point A to point B safely. And they don't have that worry. So not only is God hanging on to our hand, we're hanging on to His. Sometimes with both hands. Right? Because, you know, we see the darkness that's around us, and it really kind of confuses us, and it puts us on edge and stuff. So I want you to think about this as Jesus being the light, and and that light, you know, resides inside our hearts here. Think about this verse here. After Jesus had died, He started to show Himself after the resurrection to some of His followers and stuff. And on the road to Emmaus, there were two individuals that met up with this guy that they didn't know, and they were talking back and forth. And this is the comment that they had. Afterwards, they got down and they told him to stay with them, and so they did. And in Luke 24, 30 through 32, it says this, when He was at the table, this is Jesus with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. Right? So these two people, they were walking on the road through Emmaus, met up with this individual. They did all this talking and everything, and then they finally invited him over for a meal. Jesus broke bread, blessed it, and gave it to them. It's really, that is very similar to that of the Last Supper, right? That what we just did with communion and stuff. But then all of a sudden, you know, when their eyes opened up, right, they're able to see that was Jesus. Now, that was hidden from them for a while, for a purpose probably. But when they recognized that it was Jesus, all of a sudden He disappeared. And you wonder why. But I want you to look at the imprint that Jesus had while they were walking on that road to Emmaus. And it's spoken right here. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? That when you read God's Word, or when you are in Bible study, or you're just even here now, aren't there things in your heart that just start to burn? Because there's that connection. All of a sudden God's revealing something to you because there's a heavy weight on your shoulders. And that which is burning is that light that's wanting to express itself in the way God intended it to be expressed. And sometimes we don't see it, we don't hear it right until God opens our eyes, and then bang! You know, we knew that feeling was there, and then when all the truth comes out, it's like, whoa, there it is! And there's sometimes where you're just rejoicing, and you have to tell somebody of what happened. And exactly what these guys here did, as soon as that happened, they went back to the other guys and said, you're not going to believe this, but we met Jesus, and He spoke to us, and He was telling, can you imagine the story going on? And it's just unending and unending, that story just goes on and on and on. Boy, what an imprint God leaves on those two individuals, and the effect that it has on those around who were doubting, who were saddened because Christ was gone. What do you mean Jesus is back? And then when Jesus appears, whoa, there's confirmation right there. And poor Thomas, who, you know, wasn't there that when he did appear and stuff, oh, I'm not going to believe until I, you know, can put my finger through his hands and into his side. And I can see for myself. Is it Wisconsin that has that plate that says, which one? Is Missouri? Yeah. Seeing is believing. That's what it says on the plate, right? License plate. Seeing is believing. So we got to see Jesus to believe. Thomas was that way. But when he did see him, he didn't need anything more. He just said, my Lord. He knew it. Right? There was something that had burned inside him. The imprint that Jesus left in those 3 years of ministry with him did not go to waste. All of that came to the fulfillment when Christ returned on that. So this is pretty cool, because in John chapter 1, 14, a little bit later than what we were reading earlier about the Word and God and stuff. Look at this here. In John 1:14, he says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Right? So God came as human. And He lived with us for those 33 some years that He was with us. And He says, we have seen His glory in the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, there's something unique about Jesus. And we can say, yeah, He was fully man and He was fully God. But what did Jesus never do? He never sinned. Yeah. Not once. No, was he living in the same world that we're living in today? Yeah. Same darkness? Yeah. Same lack of being able to recognize the light? Yeah. And in that, He never sinned. Well, that's because He's God. It's because of who He is. Yes, He is God. But what did we say that God was going to do? But to dwell in us, right? How is that going to happen? Well, real simply, it's right here in Acts 2:17, when the Holy Spirit had descended upon, like during Pentecost and everything, and the Holy Spirit came down like, you know, small flames and stuff like that. We're looking at it, and it says this: in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Now, who's the Spirit? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. But guess what? It is the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus that caused Him to never sin. That resides in us. Yeah, but. Oh, I don't say but. Because every time you say but, your yeah is no longer a yeah. Everything you said just before that but, you don't believe. You've heard it, but you don't believe it. So there is no but in Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that allowed Jesus to live sinless in this world. Who's rejoicing? Everybody should be, because really that is such a great thing to be able to have that. Is that a weight on us? Sometimes we think, yeah, you know, that when it goes like that, but yeah, of course, you know. Well, look at this here. We go all the way through that. And I want you to look at verses 12 and 13 and back to John chapter 1. It says, yet all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That means, very simply, that you are not the same person that you were before when you accepted Christ. Because before, when you accepted Christ, you were a very worldly person. A person that lived the darkness. You lived in sin. And because of sin, there is a separation between you and God that you can't fix. But Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, took our sins with it, with him, and now we have a righteousness that doesn't come from us, but comes from God, and God can call us his children. You see, I think of this stuff, and this, can you imagine a person that has been living in darkness all, you know, for most of their life or for a long period of time, and all of a sudden they get to experience that light for the very first time? It's like those guys on the road to Emmaus. They just, all of a sudden, there's just so much that's there, and it's like, wow! And you experience the personality of God, you experience His closeness, and you experience the goodness that's there, and it's so different from what the world has ever shown you, that you don't want anything to do with the world, and you want everything to do with God. And you're just, you know, we say that sometimes you're on fire with the Lord. But then, sometimes you go to a church service, and these are the people that are in the pews. Right? They got that big frown on their face, and they come in, and they're like, ah, woe is me. I've got all these bad things happening around me. And it's like, yes, but you have God in your heart. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. And I am now declared a son or a daughter of God. I mean, how great is that? I mean, it's like, think about this. You have eternity with Him forever. And we're walking in to church, or we're walking to work, or we're wherever we are with family. And we're like, oh, another day. Do you see it? I see that. And to me, that is wrong. We have life that Jesus has given us. That life is like, again, that's what Pat was saying, that's what sustains us. So how is it we can be walking around, moping around, and unhappy when we have God living in us? I'm not sure how that happens. But we have a church building that at one point was dirty on one side, dirty on that side, clean on this side. It seems like we have a choice in which we want to do. Right? We get down through that. So we look at this, and that we are now something different. It's spoken again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, right? Because we know what Christ has done for us. We see things differently. We don't look at things from a physical aspect. We look at things from a spiritual aspect. It says, though we once regarded Christ in this way, just as a worldly person, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Amen. Thank you. I got one amen. Let me say that again, because I think that's pretty phenomenal stuff. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come.
Amen.
There you go. That's the type of Christian we need to have. When you hear stuff like that, you know that before you accepted Christ, there was darkness. And you didn't realize how dark it was until you met Christ. And when you did meet Christ, you don't care about that darkness. You care about the light. And that is life in you. Right? So we are given anew. The old is gone. It says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is that making a wrong relationship right again, right? A wronged relationship, I should say. And so we look at that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. There we go. Do you remember the story that we were reading there in Isaiah and Jeremiah, that God has a plan for us, that He was going to live in us, that we may be a light to the Gentiles. Gentiles meaning non-believers. Those that, it's not that they have rejected God, they just may never have heard who God is. There are those that rejected Him. But in this whole aspect, that God has come into us for a purpose. Yes, He is there to save us, but there's more to it. There's others that need to be saved, and we are to be God's hands and feet and mouth. And, you know, the way that we can help them. Help those people and come around. And then we get to some hard scripture, because we look at our lives. And we're going to say, well, thanks God, but right? Are we really thankful?
No.
Yeah. Not when we say but. So the plan is, we sometimes think that we aren't worthy, because there's hard words in Scripture. And this is some really hard ones to deal with. In 1 John 3, 7 through 10, it says, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. Right? We've got God. We're going to stay straight on straight and narrow with God and stuff like that. He who does what is right is righteous. And we just learned about it. Whose righteousness are we talking about? God's righteousness. Who gives us that righteousness? God. Because Jesus has taken the sin away from us so that He can reside in us. And we can have the same Spirit that Jesus had. And Jesus lived without sin, right? Yes. So we can live like that. Well, let's look at what it says here. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Do we agree to that?
Yes.
You better say yes, it's in Scripture. Right? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Yay! Alright? So the devil wants to separate us from God. What God has done, He brought Jesus so that we can be reconciled back to Him the way it was before the fall. Back in the Garden of Eden. It says here then, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. Yes?
Yes.
I didn't hear quite a strong yes on that one there.
We're thinking about
it. Yeah, I like that, Pete. We're thinking about it. That's very good. Because God's seed remains in Him, which we know, right? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father is in us. He cannot go on sinning because He has been born of God, which we've already been talking about. We are a new creation in God.
Amen.
How can we sin? Ah, yeah, I know. It's always like, oops, how's that going? This is a hard scripture. It really is. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is hard scripture. But you remember that there's two things kind of we are made up of. We have this physical body, and yet we have a spiritual connection with God. That spiritual connection with God is untainted by the devil, is untainted by sin. And I'm going to tell you this and make sure that you understand this. It will never be tainted by sin. Why? Because God is sinless and God resides in us. So that which God has given us, it is literally impossible for us to sin. Does that come as a surprise to anybody?
It's spiritual.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It is impossible for us to sin because of the light that lives within us, which is sinless. I want you to hang on to that thought, because you're going to say, I do sin. And even John, here in 1 John, I'm going to go back to another scripture verse here. Look at what it says here in 1 John chapter 1. This is before this now, right? Verse 8 through 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What? This is the same person speaking, saying that we cannot sin if we are a child of God. Then he says, if we say we don't sin, we're liars and we're not of God. Don't you see the contradiction? And people can take this and say, that's why I'm not a Christian. I tell you, there is no contradiction at all. Let's look at this some more here. And he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Right? And we will have the righteousness that he gives us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. So what is it? Well, we have been born again, and we are a new creation, living in an old vessel. And our old vessel comes up and rises up at times, and does some things that are unrighteous. Does some things that are sinful in the eyes of God. And yet we have this Spirit of God that lives in this vessel that is sinless. And there seems to be a bit of a struggle that goes on. Sometimes it seems like God's light shines. And there's other times where we don't let God's light shine, and we want things for ourselves. And that's when the old man creeps up. But in that aspect of the sinless part of us, God will always shine. His righteousness will always be there. And I love this. I've got my, some friends, Jim and Sherry, and when we have Bible study there on Thursday nights and stuff, it almost always comes up. about choice. You have a choice to who is going to control this individual. Is it the Holy Spirit that is sinless? Is it the Holy Spirit that has the righteousness of God? Is it the Word of God that has been placed on our heart, which is true and eternal? Or is it the old self that makes choices based upon what the world would say? And that's darkness. God has given you the ability to choose what you want. So as a Christian, we don't sin because God's in us. God is in us, but we just choose to sin. God is faithful. He will forgive us. And we confess that. And we can keep moving on. We are in pure vessels with a pureness in us that is so pure that there's absolutely, it's just absolute goodness and love and purity. And that's what God has done for us. So when we're moping around feeling sad for ourselves or there's, you know, depressed, that's not God doing that. That's you choosing that part of your life that God says, be done with it. It's dead. I want your hearts burning with the fire of God all the time. Because I am life in you. That's the imprint that God leaves on us. No one can leave an imprint like that ever. Yeah, we can have some people that can, you know, say some things that's really good. But God's imprint on you is like nothing else. It is completely different because it's so special. So my last verse I have is this one here, Romans 8, 5 through 11. It kind of sums it up, really. I think using John and Paul through all the scriptures, most of the scripture here. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit does or desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. We need to choose to live according to the Spirit. Because if we don't, there's death. And God has given us grace. He's given us salvation. He's given us His Spirit inside of us so that we can obey His commands, so that we can do the things that He wants us to do that please Him. He's left an imprint on every believer. And that imprint is God Himself. I don't know about you, but I find that overwhelming. I find that to make myself pretty humble in the sense that God is that purity, that goodness is inside me, and I haven't really been allowing that to control my life or to allow me to express that to whoever it is around me. Yes, even those enemies, those people that say bad to you, those things, those people that are hurtful. Yes, you have God's purity. You have God's forgiveness in you. You have God's love that passes every understanding and that peace that He gives us. because of what He wants of us. He wants us to be His children, and He wants us to have Him as our God. You see, when He's our God, He reigns. That goodness inside of us reigns. And the old man is gone. I really like to, it goes back to what Doran said ages ago about, was it Clint Eastwood? He says, I don't let the old man, what was it? Something, do you remember that?
Get up in the morning, don't let the old man in.
Yeah. When I get up in the morning, I don't let the old man in. That is so true to what this scripture is and these scripture verses are saying. Don't let the old man in. Let God in. And let God do His thing. And He's going to take you down a path you will never even comprehend that you could do with the things that He wants you to do. Because He's doing it for you. Pat, I know you were looking up scripture and stuff, and I'm like, she's going to come up with something, and I want that there. Yeah, go ahead.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Sometimes some of this doesn't make sense, and yet it's life.
Yeah.
And life more abundantly.
Yeah. And God does everything for your benefit. Yeah, yeah, everything. God is good. When you say God is good, you really mean that. That you trust everything that God allows to happen, and the things that God doesn't allow to happen is for our good. That we come to Him, and we'd be able to allow that light to shine inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, I just thank You for this word today, and just ask that You continue to be with our church family. That the light of God can shine more brightly than a cleaned front panel of the church. But what shines is that imprint that You've left on us, that we are not the same after meeting You. For the rest of our lives, we're not the same. Sometimes, Lord, it's too easy just to accept You and then just go right back to the same way we've been. Doing the same routine, the same thoughts. Oh yeah, I've got God. But You're no different. Allow the light of God to shine in you. His righteousness. And what a difference that will make. Father, I thank You for Your word. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.